Hey, 2 Peter chapter 1. Okay, here Peter begins. Simon Peter, a servant, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Again, he's identifying his stewardship as a chief steward. Okay, that he's not a chief steward of Moses, but he's chief steward of Jesus Christ, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have tamed like precious faith with us, okay, which is in rhythm. Okay, the value of life is put within this rhythm of your priesthood. So he calls it a precious faith. Okay, and that which God identifies with and it takes pleasure in because it is a mirror of himself. Obtain like precious faith with us through this holy knowledge, through the righteousness of God. Okay, now righteousness again has to do with the standard which God measures everything by, and everything's measured by Jesus Christ, who is the oath of the Lord. Okay, and by this you're being saved. Okay, so you're working out your salvation with fear and trembling. Okay, that you're in reverence and in respect, and in diligence, and in consistency, as the three C's, we'll be reading about that, okay, the three C's, the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, okay, through this priesthood, a new priesthood. Okay, verse 2, here he goes on, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Okay, if you're not experiencing the multiplication, okay, and the progressive nature of God's kingdom, okay, that's because you're standing outside of the that which God sanctified for you express yourself, for you to express yourself through, is concerning the priesthood of Christ. Okay? But here we see grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Okay? Not confusion, not grace and confusion, but grace and peace. Okay, be multiplied unto you, and it's increased. This is a blessing now. Okay? So the word blessing here is seen in its form of multiplication by his standard. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you by the knowledge of God. So knowledge, again, has to do with these accumulation of facts, okay, which is the holy knowledge. It's identifying truth as that which we increase by, okay, grace and truth, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So he's identifying the source, okay, where it was initiated, and that which is by that which is sustained by Jesus Christ our Lord, or and of Jesus our Lord. So it's identifying its source from the bosom of the Father, and he's identifying its sustainment. The priesthood is through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And verse 3 goes on, according as the divine power. This is that sustaining factor, which the Apostle John also talks about, where the plan of God originated, where it's initiated, and now how it's being sustained. By every word of God. They say we're sustained by every word of God. Okay, and he says in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay, so we can see that that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is sustaining this pattern, okay, which is God himself. According as the divine power has given to us all things. Now, all things has to do with the tools, okay, which identifies this new priesthood that pertain to life and godliness. Okay, so this is the knowledge of life. Okay, and it increases the fruit of Christ working within you. A new design is taking place in your soul. Okay, and this new design is taking place by this new knowledge, through the knowledge of Him, Christ, not Moses, but Christ. Not the Ten Commandments, but Christ. Okay, the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Okay, and of course, the word glory there, again, is identifying a substance is born within you, okay, that empowers your faith. Okay, it's a token. It's a gift. This is a testimony of Christ, which is now being written within your soul, okay, which is confirming the history of God in the conscience. That our conscience is no longer condemning us because we're showing conformity to the plan of God. The conscience will cry out against anything that's contrary, to its true history and its true rhythm. In verse 4, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. The God continues to initiate this grace, which identifies this true and holy pattern. Okay, it's true because it's of the original pattern sets it within God. That's the record of Christ. The original pattern, the true pattern, sets in Christ, not in ourselves, because our pattern changes. Okay, our signature has to change into His. He is not going to change or transform himself into our image. We must transform ourselves into his image. So they're given great and precious promises. Okay, those things which are beyond the limitation, and those things which has to do with that which God is tailored to our, which is tailored to ourself. Okay, everything is tailored to us. Okay, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So we see the divine power for the divine nature. Okay, from verse 3 and verse 4. The divine power, okay, that which is sustaining the plan of God being written in your hearts and your mind, okay, and to the divine nature. Okay, so we see this is the same thing the Apostle Paul brings out in Ephesians 1. Okay, having taken on that God has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings, okay, in Ephesians 1:3, having taken on the image of God, okay, by this initiation, okay, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. So the escaping has to do with the circumcision by the work of regeneration, which also brings out the renewing of the mind. Your perception changes through your cycles of growth. Okay, that the things which you embraced and thought were valuable and precious to you before you came into covenant, okay, begins to lose its impact and influence. The old man dies as a new man is born. Okay, and this is what Paul talks about, okay, about the old man and new man. Okay, the old man is that which is of that previous priesthood, the priesthood of corruption, iniquity, and frailty, and sin. Okay, to that which is the new man, okay, which is eternal. Okay, and renewed every day, day by day. We carry a new mark within us. Okay, not the image and mark of Satan, but now the image and mark of God. Through this divine nature, by the divine power. In verse 5, he goes on, and beside this, okay, in regarding this pattern, because Abraham provided the pattern, but Jesus provided the record. Okay, the pattern has to do with that cycle. Revelation, resistance, and reward, but now that the cycle, revelation, resistance, and reward, is no longer within that first covenant, the covenant of wandering, okay, but now in the covenant of stability. Okay, that's why he is the anchor of our soul, because our soul is anchored or tethered to the old to the Lord, which is in the throne, okay, the throne in heaven. Okay, not the throne of the flesh, but the throne of the spirit. Okay, and beside this, giving all diligence. Now your full attention can be given to your priesthood instead of given to trying to untangle the ball of string of your frailty. Okay, because as you try to labor, okay, of trying to untangle that ball of string of your own confusion, okay, you'll be laboring that for all your life. You'll be reading every kind of book of psychology, okay, to try to untangle these things. But God has not called us to untangle that. He will do that. And beside this, giving all diligence to add to your faith virtue. So now you're focused on the tools of the covenant. Add to your faith virtue. It begins with your faith, which is consenting to the presence of grace, yielding your will in a positive way to the knowledge of God, the grace of God. Okay, but you notice the conclusion of it is charity. Okay, and verse 7. It begins with faith, is completed in charity, because charity is a distributing factor of all these other virtues. Okay, that God provides richly all these tokens through your cycles of growth. Okay, so that you will not be barren, nor naked. Beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. All right, which the virtue is the empowerment. Okay, the empowerment. God empowers the changes. And the virtue knowledge, which is regeneration and renewing of the mind. And the knowledge temperance, which also has to do with the temperament. Okay, that God provides an equity in the soul through each cycle of your growth. Okay, so that you're given to moderation. Okay, and not to extremism. Okay, extremism is a result of false knowledge. Okay, that you're pursuing an imagination and you're trying to empower that imagination. Okay, when you try to empower that imagination, it begets extremism. Okay, it begets a form of aggression called the aspiration, okay, which becomes very, very powerful in envy. It becomes powerful in variance. It becomes powerful in emulation. It becomes powerful in sedition. Okay, it becomes that is a temperament of that kingdom, okay, which is does not provide moderation. There's no equity in it. Okay, but the person that's swallowed up and ensnared by it, then the darkness cannot perceive it themselves. It's beyond their own perceptions because they're living it. Okay, when you're living within the extreme, okay, you do not have eyes to see your own condition. That's why you need an outside observation. Okay, an unprejudiced observation. That's what Christ is. Christ is an unprejudiced observation. Okay, meeting his own standard because he is the original pattern. Okay, and being unprejudiced, okay, his history being already written within himself, okay, identifies the discrepancies of our own prejudices. Okay, the things which we favor or disfavor, which we agree or disagree, which we accuse or else excuse, as the Apostle Paul brings out. Okay, so the temperament, okay, self-control, okay, or a temperament is born, okay, and the Spirit carries it into its fullness of equity. So your joy is full. Okay, if you want your joy to be full, you have to follow the due process of priesthood. Okay, in covenant, identifying and working with the stewardship, okay, which Peter brings out his letter here. He's writing this letter, okay, not to whomsoever. He's writing this letter to those which have obtained like precious faith. Okay, so this letter is not written to a modern day denomination. Okay, it's not written to the many different churches that are sprung all over the place, okay, as false salt. Okay, he's writing this to those who are in covenant with him. Okay, and identifying with Peter's stewardship. Now we go on here in verse 7, in verse 6, to knowledge, temperance, patience. Okay, again, patience is endurance of time. Okay, that you're enduring your cycles of growth as God continually initiates these tokens to you as an overcomer. Okay, so that you, by the time of the completion of his work within you, as God begins the good work, he both wills to do his good pleasure, as Paul brings out in Philippians. This is his good pleasure, and this is his will. This is what he empowers. Okay, the holy tokens. Okay, and patience, godliness. Okay, this is the end result, that you're a fruit bearer. So ungodliness is a soul void, okay, of the virtue, is void of the design. Okay, the soul is, okay, as a mirror that's clouded over with moisture. You can't see an image in it. Okay, it's a fogged up mirror. Okay, you can't see an image in that. But when God begins a good work within you, okay, then he's removing the obstacle of his the obstacles of his image that he wants to be mirrored within you. Okay, which is, okay, false tokens. He's removing the barriers of your traditions, your previous thinking, your aspirations, your principle. Okay, he's removing the barriers that were implanted there by Satan. Okay, the sins that which he nourished within you. Okay, which gave you a prejudiced position. Okay, more or less a suspicious mind, a prejudiced position to always weigh things against yourself rather than the record of Christ. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. So the temperament which God brings out here shows a form of unity, a building. Okay, somebody says brotherly kindness and brotherly kindness, charity. There's a building. Okay, that everyone is contributing, knowing what their responsibility is. Okay, as a craftsmanship, okay, a mason and a builder, okay, or a plumber or an electrician, okay, that they're skilled in what they're doing, and they know exactly what to do at the time appointed. Even as the priesthood. Okay, you can't put the wiring in the house, okay, if there's no structure there to put it in. Okay, and you can't do your masonry work until there's a frame to work that masonry, okay, to use as a guide to your masonry. Okay, so everything is at its appointed time in this due order for the progression or for the blessing. Okay, the blessing is identifies that form of progression, okay, with these spiritual tools. Okay, for if these things be in you, okay, so if Christ is being formed within you. Now, what Peter says right here, from verses 5 here to verse 8, the divine power for the divine nature, this is Christ being formed within you. This is what Paul's talking about. Okay, Christ being formed within you is that the fog on the mirror is being removed. Okay, and that you're able to reflect him perfectly, okay, without any kind of barrier, okay, without any kind of prejudice being put within that, okay, or something that's being set between you and that image, okay, that becomes idolatry. Anything between you and the image is idolatry, okay, which is a principle of, the principle which you've been nurturing, okay, in order to rule by. We don't rule by principle, we rule by faith. For if these things be in you and abound, there's the word abounding, is to overflow. This is the enlarging of the heart. Okay, the heart increases with the increase of God. Okay, as God increases grace to you, and as you increase in your charity, okay, so also you continue to abound in this blessing. These are the blessings, okay, which Paul speaks about. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Then, okay, now you're being re-educated into his perspective. Now you're taking on God's perspective instead of Satan's perspective. Satan's perspective has to do with the struggle of the flesh, where God's perspective has to do with the overcoming of those things. For if these things in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. See, that's true godliness. Okay, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, you're not going to be barren in regarding the holy knowledge. So we see regeneration and renewing of the mind. So true regeneration, okay, is that impact of grace, okay, which takes place through your, okay, willingness to function in the priesthood and identifying with also with your stewardship. You get the king and the priest working together. So Jesus is our king and Jesus is our priest. Okay, and God has assigned stewardship, okay, to represent that king. Okay, and he's represented and also signed a priesthood, which represented his priesthood after Melchizedek, the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the knowledge of Moses, but the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what we testify to. These are the things which we confirm, and these are the gifts which we bear. Okay, in his presence, in the presence of the court. Okay, when we come before him, as he is our advocate with these things only. In verse 9, but he that lacks these things, which means the absent of the tools, absent of the government, outside the system, not in rhythm with, okay, the Spirit, and not in the house of God, he says they're really blind. See, they are as wandering Christians. Okay, wandering Christians. Okay, and all their doctrines are as placebo, okay, tokens. Okay, that doesn't possess any value within it. It's like a placebo token, as your tithing is a placebo token. Okay, water baptism is a placebo token. Communion, circumcision, okay, all those things of that first covenant, okay, were only types and shadows. A shadow possesses, okay, no power, no virtue. Okay, the shadow of a corn stalk does not possess the nurturement of the corn. Okay, you can chew on that shadow all you want, okay, but you're not going to get healthy. Now, all you can do is get a mouthful of dirt. Okay, you have to chew on the corn, okay, in order to benefit, you know, the nurturement, okay, the vitamins, okay, the power of the corn. Okay, the power of the corn is in the corn, and the power of Christ is in the tool, okay, because his mercy is in the tool. Okay, so he that's chewing on the shadow rather than on the corn is blind. Okay, because the shadow of the corn moves, we see, with the position of the sun, and so is the wandering Christian. The Christian that partakes of the placebo is an unconverted Christian. Okay, he has a near conversion experience, but never enters into covenant. And this individual is always trying to resolve the psychology of their doctrines. Okay, so instead of building upon, and instead of the heart being enlarged because of tokens of God's kingdom, okay, the heart is always wandering. Okay, and trying to resolve the struggles of the conscience. Okay, why they feel defeated all the time. Okay, and when they get a glimpse, okay, when they get a glimpse of a hope, okay, the hope ends up being a placebo hope. Instead of giving them eyes to their faith, it continues to blind them as the blind follows the blind. Okay, the blind is leading the blind. Okay, and that was the case with ancient Israel, as it is the case today in the church. The blind, there be blind leaders of the blind. They don't identify with the sanctified stewardship, and they're not working with the sanctified priesthood. Okay, they don't even know what the order of Melchizedek is. Okay, and regarding their priesthood. So they're blind, yet they're claiming to see. They say, "Oh, we see." When Jesus said, "When you say you see, okay, then your sin remains." Okay, if you admit to the fact that you have been blind and accept the token which I am, okay, then you're going to truly see. But yet, now you're claiming to see, and yet you're blind. So therefore, your sin remains. You are the tares. Okay, that say you see, but you're blind, and yet you're standing in the pulpit saying we see. So therefore, your sin remains. Okay, because you'd be blind leaders of the blind. Okay, you're using the wrong tokens. You don't know what the priesthood is. Okay, and you're rejecting the stewardship. The stone which the builders disallowed, the same is to become the head of the corner. Okay, and Jesus speaking these things, not only was he speaking of himself, he was speaking to his apostles. Okay, and regarding that stone. Okay, which we see in John 15. Okay, he doesn't use the word stone in John 15, but he's identifying the transition of the stone to them as being stones. And this is what Peter brings out. You also as holy stones. Okay, spiritual stones, he says. You're spiritual stones. You're building up a spiritual house. That's what Paul said. Okay, so here, okay, Peter was identifying himself as the cornerstone, which is to be the oath and the standard for the church to work with. Okay, this is the key. Okay, which Jesus said he would have, and by that his kingdom would be built, and the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. They cannot prevail, okay, against this stone, because I sanctified this stone. There will be other stones, okay, which I didn't sanctify, that are going to claim that are going to volunteer themselves to be the cornerstone, okay, but they are not the ones which I selected, okay, because there's a lot of people that are building out there, but they're not building according to God's kingdom, his plan. A lot of ministries that call themselves a ministry of Christ, which is not the ministry of Christ, okay, all it is okay, all they are is they're acting as spiritual cheerleaders. Okay, that are getting in the pulpit or holding conferences and lecturing, okay, in order to try to challenge the people to struggle with their own conscience, that is to untangle that ball of string. But he that lacks these things is blind. He's a wandering Christian. Okay, that those that wander in the wilderness, okay, do not dig the wells. Okay, they're always looking for water. So he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, because they're short-sighted. And that's what iniquity does. Okay, darkness restricts your sight. Okay, but when the day dawns and the day star rises, when the sun reaches into the sky, okay, then our sight is restored to us. Okay, and of course Peter brings that out. Okay, and cannot see afar off, and is forgotten, he was purged from his own sins. What do you mean forgotten? That's what he's struggling with. The heathen are always repenting. Okay, they're always dealing with the condition of their conscience, because the conscience is not purged. Okay, the conscience is not purged because it stands in condemnation when the soul doesn't bear the confirmation of the God's history. Okay, so he has forgotten his purged from his old sins. Wherefore, he says, verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, instead of seeking to try to untangle the psychology of your own struggles and try to resolve these things, okay, with false tokens, okay, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to this. Make your calling and election sure. You've been called into your priesthood. Okay, and follow through on this. This is what you've been elected to, called and elected to. For if you do these things, you should never fail or fall. Okay. That you won't, of course, you won't fail in fruit bearing, and you won't fall into desolation. For if you do these things, you should never fall. Do these things. You have to follow through on your responsibility to the priesthood. You just can't sit and expect things to be done. Okay, you have to be active with these things. And by this, God's going to continue to provide an abundant entrance of his grace. For so an entrance should be ministered unto you abundantly, in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The house of the Lord, okay, is there for you to fill. Okay, so you're filling the house of the Lord, okay, with the values of things which he takes pleasure in, okay, the fruit of the Spirit. Wherefore I will not be negligent, Peter says, as a steward. I will not be negligent, because a steward is supposed to be, okay, an example to the flock. Okay, and when those which are claiming to be examples okay, when they deny the need for apostles, or say that truth is not attainable, okay, or say that tongues is not for today, or maybe it might be, okay, these are not the examples for you to follow. Okay, if these people are claiming that they don't need these experiences to be spiritual, okay, you should leave the house of Bel immediately. Because what they're saying is that you can gain a knowledge of God apart from the Spirit, and you can't. Okay, you can't gain a knowledge of God apart from the Spirit, because it's the Spirit that grants you the knowledge. Okay, so those which are negligent in their priesthood always stand in doubt of their salvation. Okay, they're not building their salvation on a scripture, they're building it on a relationship. The false religious system assigns you a scripture to build your confidence with. They say it was disbelieved John 3:16. Okay, you confessed Romans 10:9 and 10. Okay, Romans 3:10. Okay, they give you this list of scriptures to try to convince your thinking that salvation has now transpired, okay, within your life. It's now taking root within you, that you entered into a relationship with God, and that's a false relationship. That's the placebo relationship. If you want a real relationship, see, and chew the corn and not the shadow, okay, then you have to function in your priesthood, and you have to identify the true stewardship, see, which God has sanctified, the true cornerstone. Okay, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you in remembrance of these things. Okay, the tools. Okay, so we see that when Peter used the word remembrance, it's the same thing that Jesus said to them. Okay, that he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that when the time shall come, you remember that I said these things to you. Okay, now the Spirit works upon reflection. Okay, and upon that reflection, that sets a pattern for your obedience of faith. Okay, your obedience of faith is not the projection of the imagination. That's what the false religious system does. They use the projection of the imagination, and Satan, of course, okay, he begins to direct your experiences. He begins to direct your perceptions. He begins to direct your, okay, he begins to mold your philosophy, okay, of what Christianity is. And that's why there's so many different philosophies of Christianity today. That's what the seducing spirit does. Okay, there is only one standard, according, and that's the oath of the Lord. Okay, if you don't know what that oath is, then you're a wandering Christian, and you're chewing on placebo tokens. Okay, the sugar pills. Okay, wherefore I'm not being negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that though you know them, and be established in the present truth. That is the second covenant truth. Okay, not the evolving truth. Jesus is not talking about an evolving truth here. Okay, Peter is talking about that which is established now. Okay, the present truth is that which God established for you to reflect and to build with. Okay, if it was a wandering truth, okay, then you're always looking for it. Okay, that means you're wondering what it is. But he's talking about, okay, that which is the second covenant truth. Okay, yea, I think it meet. That means this is the correct procedure, he says. Yes, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle of the body, to stir you up by putting in remembrance that this is for your reflection, and your reflection is for your confidence. Okay, if you keep in memory what I teach you, when an apostle teaches you, okay, if your pastor has never been taught by a living apostle, that means the cornerstone of the house of the Lord, okay, then it is not necessary for you to build with that. Okay, but if he is, then it is necessary for you to build with that. Okay, so the remembrance right here has to do with that. This is a reflection. Okay, a house follows a blueprint. Okay, a blueprint doesn't follow the house. You don't make a blueprint after you constructed a house. The blueprint is set before you to construct a house by. You have to identify with this. Okay? And Christ is given the blueprint, as the Apostle Paul identifies himself as a chief steward. Okay? As we see this in 1 Corinthians, okay? And regarding this form of craftsmanship, and are built upon that foundation, Jesus Christ. Okay, the blueprint has already been set. The truth has already been established. Okay, and as an apostle, we continue to direct you within that pattern all the time. If you don't know what the pattern is, then you don't know what to direct them in. Okay, that you're just giving them a form of precept in line. You're just throwing out stuff to say, do this and do that. Okay, rather than directing them okay, and helping them. That's the wisdom which is from above, okay, always directs you in a covenant. The wisdom which is from beneath always directs you into the record of your own soul, okay, of how you can rectify discrepancies. In verse 14, knowing that surely I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. We see that in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Verse 15, moreover, I endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. So underline the word these things again. Okay, he's talking about the tools. Hey, the tools are within the pattern. And the pattern works with the tools. Even as the priest went into the tabernacle, okay, but the tabernacle was constructed for the priest. And you can see that the one complements the other. Okay, that there's no dissension between these things in this machinery here. Okay, the living machinery. Okay, now look what he says here. Okay, he uses the word fables, and Paul calls them Jewish fables, and the Apostle John called it the Doctrine of Galatians. It's all identifying the same thing. Okay, a fable. Okay, is identifying that those which they're using the compassion of God to sustain the activity of their own doctrine. That's a fable. Okay, they're using the compassion of God to sustain a particular precept, okay, or a denominational doctrine. And so when God in his compassion heals somebody, or when his compassion answers a prayer, okay, or in compassion he bridges your signature, okay, and regarding the next stages of what he wants to be done, okay, you take these things and begin to develop a philosophy with. Okay, there's a fable. Fables will prevail in the last days, in the end times, which we're in right now, okay, which Paul speaks about, okay, in 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay, that these are the cunningly devised fables. And he says cunningly devised because seducing spirits enter in these things to challenge you. Okay, and this challenges works with this temperament, with envy. You ever notice that when you hear people testifying of God's compassion? Okay, when they get an answer to the prayer, they want to immediately dominate you with it. They want to say, we are the standard. This is what God does. Okay, and a whole philosophy begins to emerge around this compassion of God rather than around the truth. Instead of building on the foundation of truth, you're building upon an act. Okay? Instead of upon the foundation of truth, a fable is now born. Okay, and every fable, okay, that is born continues to blind the eyes and misdirect you. Instead of directing you into your priesthood, it directs you into a form of lifestyle. Okay, and you can see that today. You hear nothing but fables on television today. Okay, these televangelists continually build fable upon fable. They say it works for me, it will work for you. And they write books in regarding, okay, of how, okay, these things, how they initiated, how they struggled with in your imagination, and how the things were on how these things unfolded. Now you have a fable. Now you can understand also why fables are so dangerous. Okay, because it will not birth the fruit of God in you, even though it may excite the imagination. Okay, and it may also initiate or produce zeal in you, okay, to be more religious. Okay, yet the absence of the fruit of God, okay, will be evident. There's no tokens of Christ being manifested. There's a fable for you. That's why it's so dangerous. Okay, those that follow fables will be consumed by them, and you're going to die in your sins if you pursue these things. If we have not followed cunningly devised fables, this is what a seducing spirit works with. When we made known unto the power, okay, these are the tokens which God has provided for us, and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and bringing result to your faith. Okay, but we're eyewitnesses of His Majesty. Mostly, we're with Him on the Holy Mount, on Mount Hermon there, called the Mount of Transfiguration. All right, for He received from God the Father honor and glory. This is title, okay, and also possession. And fruit, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So why is Peter saying this? Because he's directing the hearts of the faith, the hearts of the saints, in faith to this one point of contact. This is the knowledge which we follow, his beloved Son. Verse 18. Now this voice, now when he says the word voice there, he's not being spooky about it. Those which are unlearned, when they hear these testimonies and regarding God's intervention and communication to man, they look at it as something that's, because it's otherworldly, they look at it as being spooky or of the devil. But it's not. You notice that the knowledge and experience which Peter has here, that there's no overture in regarding regarding something that is of a spooky nature. But those which are unlearned, will view these things, because they're otherworldly, as being spooky, or of the devil. But it's not. Satan does not want to be exposed. So Satan remains concealed in your imagination. But God openly communicates to you. When he speaks right to the conscience. And that's why you can hear his voice clearly. He speaks right to the conscience. Now this voice which came from heaven we heard. When you're on the mountain, when we're with him in the Holy Mount. We see this in Mark 9, chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And we have also a more sure word of prophecy. You see what all prophecy confirms and testifies of Christ. The false prophecy testifies of man. In his conditions. But true prophecy always testifies of Christ and the work of the Spirit. So we can see that there was a false prophetic movement. Nay, there's also a false priesthood. That emerged. Satan took ownership of this knowledge, and he directed it into a form which was corruptible. And he's doing the same thing today. As he competed with the Temple of Solomon, with the Temple of Baal, he competes against the truth with his own truths. He competes against the priesthood of Christ with the priesthood of Satan. That has, again, certain elements that we see are biblical in nature, but are absent of the virtue of God. It's biblical in nature, in its function, but it's absent of the virtue of God. The Spirit does not empower it. It's just an empty, it's an empty kind of activity. We have also more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place, that you continue to embrace this knowledge until the fullness of time, until the day dawn and day star rise in your hearts. Where God brings all things to completion through your cycles of growth. Through your cycles of growth, you will behold the face of the Lord. In verse 20, knowing this, first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That the Scriptures weren't written for the purpose of exploiting. You cannot exploit the Scripture. And when you exploit the Scripture, that means you're utilizing the precept for your aspiration. When you take a Scripture out of the Bible, particularly like in the false religious system, they used 3 John 2, that I would that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. They take ownership of the precept. They take ownership of it and direct it into the way of their aspiration. And they're therefore, even their faith is contaminated. They're trying to bring about the promises of God on the grounds of their own initiation, instead of waiting with patience and working with faith and functioning in their priesthood. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. So people interpret Scripture as a psychological expounding. A psychological expounding and regarding of also trying to resolve the struggle between the soul and the spirit, and between the voice of the conscience and that which the soul has been nurturing, which is the kingdom of darkness. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. And this is another thing right here. It wasn't somebody that just selected a scripture of the Bible to build a psychology on, which many denominations have done today, like John 3:16. A whole psychology is built on it. And also Mark 11:23 and 24. there's a particular denomination that has built a whole psychology around Mark 11, 23, and 24. Okay, which, of course, is this has been initiated by a seducing spirit. Because it takes you out of from faith and patience onto a form of aggression and projection with the imagination, and anything that stands against your imagination, you think that's the devil. No, that's the devil in the imagination. Okay, because the adversary, okay, you notice that you're interpreting circumstances in the light of the voice of this seducing spirit, and you're always struggling to try to resolve these things. Okay, that is not entering into his peace and rest. Do you ever notice that? You don't possess the peace of God, and you don't enter into the rest of God. That you're always struggling against that voice, okay, with Scripture. Okay, so that's the psychology of the precept, okay, rather than the obedience of faith. Okay, the psychology of the precept is that you're taking a verse in the Bible, okay, like Mark 11, 23, and 24, extrapolating that or psychologically expounding on that to try to resolve the conflict that exists within you, and that you want to see your desire manifested, okay, through the voice of through the voice of that precept, and it's not going to happen. Okay, you're always going to be resolving, okay, of trying to bring peace between you, okay, and okay, that which you're looking forward to. Okay, so instead of entering into his rest, okay, you're laboring with a different system entirely. Okay, that's what the seducing spirit is working in. So no fruit of God is brought forth in this, okay, other than a lot of confusion. Okay, and then at the end, if you see that some result has taken place, then you make a whole philosophy out of it. Okay, and that it becomes your tradition. And then, of course, that we see today. We see a whole denomination on that. Okay, but holy men of God spoke as moved by the Holy Ghost. That means those which God selected, the government. Okay, the government of God is a true refuge. The government of God is also established through true stewardship, sanctified stewardship. Okay, these are the ones which are revealing to you the things which you must touch, okay, and for your salvation. Okay, so these are holy men of God that spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, thank you for listening. Okay, and I hope this has been a great blessing to you. So this is Apostle Eric von Erceg saying, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.